Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to Red Sky Radio and the Red Sky Radio Ranch, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I've announced it as Red Sky Radio, but beginning next week, it's the Robin Walter Show. And I will explain why we have made that change in just a minute. We have a couple of things to go over. But today is I'm going to digress a bit in the sense from the COVID series that we've been running to deal with a situation in Afghanistan from a position you have not heard. Nowhere on the news have you heard this, and I've entitled this program. When you look it up and you want to hear it again, I'll tell you how you can get it different ways in a few minutes. It's going to be called The Gospel and Foreign Policy. That's right, The Gospel and Foreign Policy. You see, God's Word covers every meaningful issue in life, including how to conduct foreign policy. And we're going to deal with that in great detail. I've got, first of all, though, the good news of sorts, I guess, is we are changing some things around and how we get the program out. I said sort of. I think it is a good thing. It's just taken me, gosh, I don't know, 5 years to listen to my son to go do this, and I finally got down to doing it so that we could expand the programming. And because we have the redskyradio.net, and you people write to me at info@redskyradio.net, and that website will still be available. However, the email address for contacting us directly will be robinwaltershow@gmail.com, robinwaltershow@gmail.com, because this program begins the launch of podcasting. I don't know why it's taken me so long. I'm an old dog, I guess, that doesn't like to learn new tricks. I need to have people tell me, hey, you need to do this, and then they have to tell me 50 times. And then I have to have a few things go wrong with the way that I am doing things to listen. But I listened to one of my sons who's been encouraging me to do this for, like I said, a long time, 4 or 5 years. And today the podcast launches. So you will be able to get the program the usual way. On redskyradio.net, it will be there to download with a special instruction for iPhones, but much easier, and he had to show me this, I had to be convinced of it, but he has convinced me of it, is to get it via a podcast. And here's how you're going to do it. For right now, the two that we are up on is Apple and Spotify. Now, Spotify is not anything I even knew anything about till 2 years ago, but there's a gazillion people under age 50 that know about it, and we are trying to reach a younger audience all the time. That's the one we need to reach in particular. But Spotify and Apple, it will be up maybe today on Google, but that's not a certainty. And then the Amazon streaming service, we are looking to get on, if possible, Rumble.com and Gab News and a couple of others. So we are looking to have this program explode through these other platforms. Now, the obvious question is, how do you find it? If you're looking on an Apple device, you type in The Robin Walter Show. Hit it, and it should pull up today's program. Well, it'll pull up tomorrow's program until today's program gets loaded. It's going to if I'm not mistaken, it'll always pull up the most recent program first, but will give you access to past programs. And the same thing with Spotify, something I've come to love because I love old songs. I've got Spotify. And I guess I have to tell you, he said, Dad, do this. He said, turn on your computer, go into your website, get to where you can download it, and then check how long it takes to do it. Well, it took about three and a half minutes. I didn't mind. He said, okay, now time me. Well, for him to pull up the program, because last week's program is up on Spotify and Apple. We've done that kind of retroactively. It took him 7 seconds to get the program. And so this old dog has had to be taught some new tricks, and that is we got to find a way to make this more accessible, quicker, easier for a generation that is not going to spend a lot of time hunting and searching around at great length to find a program. So this is why you have smart young kids, right, to be able to help you, and I just appreciate it so much. So you can get this on Spotify and Apple. Today's program will be loaded later today. And then last week's program is already up. Okay, so one other thing I just want to do, a bit of an announcement. As you know, the station manager for KKVV in Las Vegas passed away a few weeks ago from COVID and double pneumonia. He was a classic case of multiple comorbidities. Well, such as it is, our dear brother Ed is going to have a service, which sadly I have a conflict and will not be able to attend. But for those of you who know Ed or know of him, he's the voice everywhere on KKVV, does the intro for this program. He's the voice that being gone, yet he will still speak, as it talks about in the book of Hebrews. There is a service for him on September 11th, at the Destiny Christian Center. That's Destiny Christian Center, which is 6210 West Cheyenne Avenue in Las Vegas at 11 a.m. So if you know Ed or knew of him or just would like to pay your respects and be among other believers that will just say a goodbye. Actually, it won't be a goodbye. It'll be see you later. We'll be coming a little bit later, Ed. But be able to say see you later to Ed, a great Christian man. I'm sure people will appreciate your being there. Next, as a launch to today's program, I'd like to read something from Victor Davis Hanson. I've got to give him the credit here because he says he's a great writer. And it sets up the program perfectly as we go into this whole thing about Afghanistan. But before that, I'm going to inject one simple story to just tell you how fast we have gone into trouble. And why we are in trouble. And I'm just using this as an example. And it happens to be a story from the other day where this mom is fighting against segregation in an elementary school. And this is, I think it's in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. But this is just unbelievable. It absolutely blows me away that they have segregated children in this elementary school through this one teacher between blacks and whites. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of law here for a second. There was a case that's one of the biggest cases in American jurisprudence called Brown versus Board of Education, Kansas Board of Education to be specific, where what was struck down was a doctrine called separate but equal. In other words, segregation wasn't against the law as long as the segregated groups got a supposedly equal education. And without going deep into that case, the Supreme Court said no. The fact that there's separation by itself makes it unequal from the get-go. They're not getting the same education. So this is what's happening. This teacher is bringing back this pernicious doctrine of separate but equal that was rejected decades ago as being inherently racist. My point, is there institutional racism today? Yes, I think we just found it. in this school. The school is an institution, is it not? And when a school egregiously involves by segregation, have you not then invoked institutional racism? The very thing the Democrats rant and rave about, which doesn't exist except in the schools that they run? Do you realize and see just how it ridiculously screwed up, demonic, perverted, and inverted the Democrat way of thinking is? Oh, institutional racism, institutional. Yeah, well, you just did it. Separating the blacks from the whites because somehow you think this is going to give blacks a leg up like that ridiculous, stupid Portland mayor, or I'm seeing the Oregon governor. I'm sorry, the governor. I can't even think of her name now because I frankly try not to remember her. That signs a bill calling this will give equity to blacks and Latinos by eliminating the requirement that you have to be able to read, that you have to be able to write, and that you have to be able to do basic math to get a high school diploma. We covered this last week, but how do you get more systemically, institutionally racist than to have left-wing governors and left-wing schools and teachers just come out and pat little black boys and girls on the head and say, okay, you go over there, you just hang around with your own kind, and we won't teach you anything, and we'll give you a high school diploma when you grow up, even though you won't be able to do jack, and we'll call this equity, and we'll call this racial harmony, and we'll call this, oh my gosh, here's what I want blacks and Latinos to do. If you're stuck in that kind of a school, get a good lawyer. And here's what you need to do. You need to file a lawsuit, not just based on racial discrimination, which should be a no-brainer. You need to sue them for educational malpractice. Educational malpractice. You mean we're paying property taxes to have our children graduate and they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math, they can't do diddly squat, jack? They can't do anything? And this is supposed to somehow level the playing field? Is that the way if we can make everybody institutionally dumber and we focus on institutionalized mediocrity or sub-mediocrity, that's a leg up? Are you kidding me? Sue them. And then get behind Rand Paul, who wants a national voucher system so you can take your tax dollars and go to the school of your choice and escape the Democrat plantation called government education. Okay. Didn't mean to spend that much time on it. Victor Davis, Mr. Hansen, take over. Quote, Americans are growing angrier by the day in a way different from prior sagebrush revolts, such as the 1960s silent majority or the Tea Party Führer a decade ago. This rage at the current status quo this time is not just fueled by conservatives. For the first time in their lives, all Americans of all classes and races are starting to fear a self-created apocalypse that threatens their family's safety and the American way of life. The border is not just porous. As in the pre-Trump past, it's non-existent. 2 million people may cross illegally this year alone with complete impunity. There's zero effort to stop them. Officials daily hector Americans to get vaccinated and tested for COVID, but they're mute about illegal entrants, some of them as many as 40% infected with the virus. Have we ever had a president who made no pretense about destroying federal immigration law and asking Americans what he does not do about illegal aliens? Joe Biden has also conceded that this hold on housing evictions deliberately defied a Supreme Court ruling. He added that he probably did not have the legal authority to ignore the court, but he didn't really care. As in the case of demolishing immigration law, the president seems either unaware or proud that he is insidiously dismantling the Constitution. America has also never quite seen such overt and multifaceted efforts to undermine the foundations of free market capitalism. At the time of resurging gross domestic products, low unemployment, and record worker shortages, Biden has announced that renters can continue to avoid paying what they owe their landlords even after a prior year of free housing. In a rebounding economy amid record debt, the government will still send workers unemployment benefits that are more remunerative than the paychecks they would earn if employed. Such insanity means not only that labor-short employers cannot provide goods and services to American consumers, the new ethos also institutionalizes the pernicious idea that it is smarter to stay home and idle than to get a job and be productive. Biden is also considering further extending exemptions for the repayment of $1.7 trillion in student loans. That amnesty will only further mainstream this growing notion that borrowing money entails no legal or moral obligation to pay it back. No one seems to acknowledge that both students and the universities, which lured them to borrow in the first place, knew exactly the risk that they were taking. Meanwhile, millions of Americans' youth, the working classes who chose not to attend college, and those who've paid their loans off, or whose parents saved enough over the years to cover their tuition obligations, will subsidize those who renege of their debts by paying higher taxes. Now, I've got to stop here a second and interject something. This is a point I have made over and over for 10 years. How about those who have decided not to go to college? They get a job as a bricklayer, a welder, a diesel mechanic. They just operate a store, a coffee shop, whatever. They got to subsidize the stinking losers in college that knew that they were getting into debt and now expect hardworking people to pay off their student loans. I would double the loan debt by doubling the amount they owe through increased interest rates. I would. If you're not going to pay, then we are going to have a default loan program that says that the interest rate doubles. We're going to double down. We're going to confiscate your wages. If you're going to renege, you go out there and get a job and you just stiff the other taxpayers. This just ticks me off to no end. And maybe it's because I worked my fanny off to get to school, to go to school, working jobs during school. I was thrilled and celebrated because I graduated broke. Why is that a celebration? Because I was broke. I wasn't in debt. I was broke, but I wasn't in debt. I'm not interested in rewarding indulgence and slackers, ones who now graduate from school, they can't read, write, or do math. Forget you guys. Go all move to California and let the rest of us secede from the union. And Joe, baby, no brains. I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. You and all your other Democrat friends can tax the crap out of New York and Illinois and all these other loser states in California and pay the debt for what's left of the United States. That's part one of the strategy to correct this, but it's only part one. Okay, continuing. Inflation is roaring back as the administration is printing millions of new dollars that do not reflect commensurate gains in productivity or population. Soaring prices are a direct result of incentivizing the unemployed not to work, while discouraging manufacturers and producers of food, gas, oil, timber, minerals, and metals. The crime wave, likewise, is not accidental. It's the logical result of deliberate nihilistic policies of releasing thousands of criminals from jails and prisons, defunding and defaming the police, and empowering woke smoke mayors and prosecutors to contextualize crime as the fault of society, not of the criminal. In response, millions of Americans now simply avoid the mayhem and chaos of blue state big cities. I just got to interject here now. They're moving out. But if you're going to vote the same crapola that you vote in New York and California, if the only people who are more stupid than Joe Biden are the ones that voted for him. If you're going to get out of the crap that you created in those states and you take it to Arizona and Florida and Texas and all the other states that are trying to do well, and you get there and you vote the same garbage, Get out. It's time to just have a one-party system. And it's not going to be with a D after the name in some of those states. This infuriates me, if you couldn't tell. Race relations have regressed 50 years. Under the fad of critical race theory, the color of our skin is now deemed essential to who we are. I have to throw this in. Would not Martin Luther King Jr., if he heard critical race crap theory, rise up and puke on top of everybody and all over everybody that's espousing that racist doctrine? It's the left who's thrown out that it doesn't matter about your character. It only matters about the color of your skin. That's the left. That's the Democrats. Those are the institutional racists that want to wreck this country. And we're going to get to a question of the hour dealing with want to in a little bit. Most Americans still integrate, assimilate, and intermarry, but the current woke revolution is an elite top-down effort to smear a self-critical and always improving nation as some sort of contemporary racist hellhole. George Orwell would say of these cultural Marxists that they grab power in the present to reinvent the past in order to control our future. All this multifaceted chaos is not just faculty lounge stuff. We're beginning to see the collective craziness filter down to disruptions in our everyday lives. Airliners can't take off due to fuel shortages. Automobiles, houses, gas, and lumber are in short supply. Consumers can't get their roofs fixed or their houses painted or their trees trimmed as employers plead to their idle government-subsidized employees to please come back to work. I'll tell you, I got to interject this. You put these lazy numbskulls on unemployment that causes them to not want to come back to work long enough, they never will come back. We're going to have a revolution. But it's going to have to be if we're going to have civil war, I don't want civil war. But if we're going to have it, we got to have it real soon. When the good people could win. And before you have people that are so anesthetized, so drunk on idleness and cheap free dollars being printed where they don't do squat, you won't get them back to work. I saw this right out of college when I investigated workers' comp fraud claims. Somebody gets hurt. You pay the workers' comp. And maybe it's one of these guys, it turns out to be a questionable injury. The back problem, that can't really be diagnosed, and we don't ever really get it diagnosed. But they got some doctor who say he needs to be off. I'll tell you, there was a certain period of time after which you couldn't get that guy back to work. He loved his stinking check too much to ever be truthful about his medical condition that he actually could go back to work. He said he couldn't go back to work, and they'd send me out. And what would they send me to do? I would dress down. I'd grow a four-day beard. I'd take my camera. I would sneak around out back his house. I'd look over. I'd film the guy while he's laying with a cement mixer, and he's down there paving a new patio with his work and comp dollars. This is what's going to happen with the unemployed. They've been off too long, collecting it too long for too easy, getting too much. They will not go back to work. And if they do, there will be hell to pay in the streets. Load up. Guns, ammo, water, Bible. Not in that order. Reverse that order. No one knows, quoting again, whether our laws still even exist or at least exist haphazardly, depending upon who gets to break them. Thieves steal with brazen impunity. And I'll interject, that's California. The police predicate arresting suspects on criteria that have nothing to do with breaking the law. Scared Americans have lost faith in the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the CDC, and most of the federal bureaucracies that are politicized as they are increasingly incompetent. Is that the FBI? Is that what FBI stands for? I'm interjecting here. Is it the federal batch of incompetence? Now, there's a lot of good people there, but there's a lot of nasty, bad people who are just shills for a left-wing government. What started out as an elite, woke nonsense now warps everyone's daily life. If we don't wake up from wokeness, we will continue on our sure trajectory to self-inflicted systemic paralysis, followed by civilizational collapse. Now, to the heart of the program, which is connected, and you'll see the connection as I go through this. But I have to say this before I get into the Afghan piece, what the gospel says about foreign policy, but why it's actually reflective of so much more. The other day, I woke up at 2 a.m., couldn't figure out why I was awake. God didn't give me a song like he did before, you know, if I only had a brain. No, didn't give me that, didn't give me any song, didn't give me a gospel message, didn't give me anything for the program, but I'm up pacing back and forth, kitchen, living room, dining room, bedroom, start the circuit all over again. But then I thought, God, what's going on? So I was praying, which I should have done to begin with, but I finally, was that what it's come down to, prayer? Well, yeah, sometimes that's the way it works. So I was praying, and I was praying, God, what's going on? What's going on? I don't know what's going on. What is happening to this country? What's going to happen? Can you tell me? Can you give me a peek? And all of a sudden, for some screwball reason, I decide to go weigh myself. That's right. I decide to weigh myself. What the heck does that have to do with my prayer? So I go into the closet, it's a large closet where the scale is. I get on it, and what does that scale read? The scale reads 1776. Now understand, it was 177.6. It's my target weight. I'm there. It is my fighting weight. That's what I say. 177 is my fighting weight. It's my boxing weight. It's the weight I should be. It's where I feel the best. But it said 177.6. But I looked on it. I just saw it. The decimal point meant nothing. I saw 1776. What year is it? Is that what it is? I don't know. I got these goosebumps. I can't tell you that this is the year of the second American Revolution. It needs to be the year that countries or states secede and leave the Union, just like the colonies left England, because that is a phase in trying to save this country, is a divorce from this country. But I'm going to show you from Scripture why that's only stage one, and the real answer comes biblically. But there's a stage one. So I was just blown away. 1776. Oh my gosh. Now, I got to step back a little bit, go back to George W. with the Afghanistan thing. This is not entirely Joe Biden's fault. It's not Donald Trump's fault entirely. It's not Barack Obama's fault. I actually point largely to George Bush with a foreign policy that is unbiblical, that this country has followed for a gazillion years, but it was continued to be followed by Barack Obama. It was continued further by Donald Trump, but much less so, and then now by Joe Biden. You'll find out what I mean in just a minute when we come back to the Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 800-585-8558. Thank you.
We are back. This is the Robin Walter Show with Robin Walter. And we are talking about the gospel and foreign policy. We just launched into this topic. And I've got to ask this question. Do you think Joe Biden is a liar? Do you think so? Well, I'm not sure that he is, because I think you have to have a brain to lie. I'm not sure this guy has one anymore. But I don't think he could even remember the lies he's told if they were lies, because you got to have a brain to connect the lies. 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, he was out saying Afghanistan could hold its own. 300,000 crack trained troops. We did our best. They're in good shape, right? That's what he said. But then what does he say the other day? He said, quote, "We didn't think that it would fall or implode this fast." Did you hear that? We didn't think it would implode or fall this fast. He admitted in that speech that what he said actually back in early July had to be a lie, because he said the Afghans can hold their own. We're going to get out of this. They're trained. They're ready to go. 300,000 soldiers strong. They can do it. And then he said, "We didn't think it would fall this fast." He just admitted that he knew it would fall. He's either a consummate liar, or he has so little gray matter in his head, he doesn't even know when he contradicts himself. And then look who's around him. Look who's feeding this left-wing puppet. You know, Scripture says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors, but doesn't... You know, what's implicit in that Scripture is that there's safety in a multitude of good counselors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors that have wisdom. But he's got no wisdom around him. He's just got a bunch of left-wing hacks. Worst Joint Chiefs of Staff ever. General Milley? Are you kidding me? This guy, when he talks, I mean, I wonder who's the puppet who's running that mouth. I mean, did Joe pick him because he was such a great general? No. He picked him because he hated Donald Trump. That's why he was picked. The guy's a piece of garbage as a general. And he's been wrong. He's the one who's been touting how great the Afghan army was. Okay, General Milley, who's pulling your strings? Who are you the puppet for? Are you the fake general? I mean, geez, why don't we just call him General Milley Vanilli? He's not even the real deal. Now, Trump owns a bit of this, as does Barack Obama. But here's what Trump would have done different than Biden. Trump, though he mistakenly said we're going to have him out by what, May 1st of last year? Bad mistake, Donald. Obama made the same mistake. Trump made the mistake. But here's what's the difference between Trump and Biden. Trump would have actually prepared for the escape ahead of time to assure that it was safe, not just announce it and pull him out like the flight from Saigon. He would have done it like a businessman does it, not like some political hack, which is all Harris is, which is all Obama was, which is all Joe Biden is, and that's all Pelosi and Schumer are. They're just a bunch of left-wing hacks. So why is this a mistake? Well, let me just put it this way. Do you really think it's wise to announce to the enemy when you plan to leave? Let me just give you an analogy. There are people out there who have their whole life on Facebook. You're fools. I'm sorry, that's foolish. You announce everything. So you got a gazillion people following you and other people that have access to your Facebook. And so you put on Facebook, "Can't wait for Tuesday, September 3rd, when we get to go on vacation to Florida for 2 weeks. Well, who do you think out there might be picking up that little Facebook post somehow and say, "Well, hey, let's go burglarize them. They're not there for 2 weeks." Why do you advertise this stuff? Why would you take a video showing your kid going to his first day of kindergarten, walking down the street alone, and it shows a street sign and everything, and guess what? The kid shows up being, or doesn't show up. That's the problem. He gets abducted. Now he's in child trafficking. You do not announce these affairs to people generally, specifically the enemy like the Taliban. You don't do that stuff. Don't cast your pearls before the pigs. But Joe did. And guess what? Does anybody know the fate of the 229 Christian missionaries over there who were slated to be executed, what, a day or two ago? Nobody knows. I haven't seen the word on that. And all the other people, the Taliban, are going around. Joe, you know what, Joe? Their deaths are on you. In fact, I got a great idea. I think Joe Biden and Chris Wallace and Chucky Schumer, and they think they should be tried for war crimes. They should be tried for treason to this country. They should be tried for war crimes because of all the deaths that are going to occur and have already occurred because of the ridiculously stupid way by which they exited. Did we need to exit? Yes. This way? Absolutely not. War crimes? Yeah, your stupidity is costing lives. Why Chris Wallace? Chris Wallace, because this loser of a commentator who was a shill for the left, who was ridiculously biased, ridiculously partial, with a stupid, crap-eating grin on his face, who tilted the debate horrifically towards Biden, because Biden needed help and couldn't argue for himself, and then Chris Wallace would argue with Donald Trump. It was Biden and Wallace against Trump, but it was mostly Wallace against Trump because Biden couldn't hold his own. Chris Wallace is in on this because he helped put Biden in office. You share in the war crimes, Wallace. Maybe you should be the one who's grabbing onto the jet wheel that's taken off or the end of a C-130 trying to take off from Kabul. My gosh. Yeah, I mean it. War crimes. And who else? Who else is guilty of possible war crimes? How about Mark Zuckerberg? How about Facebook? Facebook, who takes down Donald Trump, who takes down anyone who questions the election, takes down anybody who questions the COVID shots and all that crap. But guess what? Who was using Facebook WhatsApp app, that's their app called WhatsApp, it's an international communication thing, who was using that to take down and storm Kabul? The Taliban. So Facebook and Twitter will not shut down the Taliban while they take over Kabul and we end up with a whole bunch of dead people. Zuckerberg, Twitter, what's a Dempsey, your name, whoever you are, you guys need to be on trial for war crimes. Because you're aiding and abetting the enemy. You are domestic enemies. It says we take an oath of office against enemies, both foreign and domestic. You are the domestic enemy. You have contributed to the death of innocent people in Kabul and all of Afghanistan. For all those who are slaughtered after they're using your stupid, crappy appy. You contributed to this. You didn't shut them down, but you shut down Americans trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. Okay. The foreign policy and the gospel. Proverbs 26:17. You can go to it, but open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, because we're going to get through this one way or other. I'm going to get through as much as I can. What is the single most important foreign policy verse in all of Scripture? Proverbs 26:17. Don't meddle with strife in a matter belonging to another. It's like picking up a dog by the ears. You pick up a dog by the ears, the dog is ticked. He's mad. He wants to bite your leg off. You're holding the dog up. If you set the dog down, the dog's going to bite your leg. And he keep biting. He'd probably like to bite your leg off. And if you hold him, he just keeps getting increasingly ticked off because he's in pain because you're holding his ears. That's the Taliban, the dog. We've meddled in an affair that is not our own. We did it in Vietnam. We've done it at other places. We do not have to be Mr. Goody Two-Shoes and save the whole world. We're meddling in affairs that don't belong to us. And guess what? We get stuck in Vietnam. We get stuck in Afghanistan. We're stuck in the Middle East. We're still stuck in Eastern Europe or in Europe. Why? Listen to Rand Paul. You don't dink around in a matter that really is not yours. And if you do, you're stuck with it. And what happens? We spend billions and billions of dollars all queuing up to a ridiculously horrific, egregious, embarrassing, humiliating defeat. Now, if you think that this is a verse that applies in all of situations. Don't fiddle around. Don't get into a matter that doesn't involve you directly. You're going to get stuck in that thing. You're like Tar Baby, right? You get stuck to the tar. You can't get loose from the goo that you stepped into. Well, if you don't think that this doesn't apply to countries, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. I'm sorry. Actually, I said Deuteronomy 4. I think it's Deuteronomy 2. I'm already mixed up because I'm trying to move so fast here. In Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy 2? Yes, it is Deuteronomy 2. Chapter 2, verse 5. Talking about don't meddle. What does God say? To the Israelites, he says, do not meddle with them. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the children of Esau. They had their own land. Don't meddle with Esau's descendants. He said, I have not given you that land. I've given it to Esau. I've given it to the Vietnamese. I've given it to the Afghans. You don't meddle in that land. I have not given it to you. And you meddle in it, you're going to get stuck. You will not be successful. God says you're going to be defeated. Just like we ultimately were in Vietnam and wasted lives, just like we wasted lives in Afghanistan. And you don't think once is enough? Jump over to verse 19. God says, when you come over against the children of Ammon, do not distress them. Do not meddle with the Ammonites. Why? He said, for I will not save you in that land. For the children of Ammon, that is their possession. I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That's their land, the Ammonites, the descendants of Lot. It's Vietnam. Vietnam belongs to the Vietnamese. Afghanistan belongs to the Afghans. Don't get mired down in the tar and the muck over there because you're going to pay a huge price. So God not only gives us an admonition that covers all of life about what to not meddle in, he gets right down to the specifics of foreign policy. Don't meddle in other people's lands when it doesn't impact our interests. It doesn't really. We don't have a direct stake. If somebody attacks us, like in Pearl Harbor, man, it's Katie, bar the door. Get out the bombs. Let it fly. Let it rip. Self-defense is a totally different story. So, that being the case, we're going to turn over a couple of pages to Deuteronomy 4. That's where I got mixed up before. Deuteronomy 4, verses 8 and 9. Why are we here? God says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget those things which the eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Specifically, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Okay, so I'm making more and more of my tithing is going to Christian education of children. Wherever I can help kids get a Christian education, it's just where more of it is shifting. But this is why it's so important. Now, I want to, and because God has said here, and I'm going to cut this short because I'm going to run out of time, you reap what you sow. We already know that, right? You reap what you sow. So listen to this. You know the passage about pride going before a fall, right? Pride goes before a fall. In June, this was put out. And I'm going to read it to you. If I can make it bigger on my phone here. All right. The month of June is recognized as LGBTI Pride Month. The United States respects the dignity and equality of LGBTI people and celebrates their contributions to the society. We remain committed to supporting civil rights of minorities, including LGBTI persons. This was put out by, and I'm looking at the flag of, the United States Embassy in Kabul. That's right. In Afghanistan, in Kabul, we're flying the queer flag and we're declaring to a country of Muslims, which get a lot of stuff wrong, but they got that one right and they got abortion right. They're far more moral than we are. As our secular American government is far more, frankly, evil than Islam in many ways. They don't support abortion. They don't support sodomy. They don't support a bunch of those things. Now, they don't treat women well. And guess what's going to happen, Mr. Joey No Brains? I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. All those women that now you've let, that Afghanistan has fallen, all those women who've tried to strike out on their own, now they get struck down and raped and they get, oh, that's real women's rights. Thank you, Joe. So what do we have? We've got Kabul in the middle of an Islamic country where we don't belong. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul celebrating Queer Pride Month in the face of and flying the flag to those people who biblically and properly detest Queer Pride Month. Pride goeth before a fall. The flag goes up. The word goes out from the embassy. We love Queer Pride in June, July, early in August. It falls. Pride, yeah, that's real pride. And it fell. Pride went before a fall in Kabul, did it not? It absolutely did. Isaiah 10, mark this down. I got to move faster. Isaiah 10 and 11 says, as my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols and whose graven images did excel them, of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols. Interesting. What God is saying in this, mark it down and read it. What God is saying is Jerusalem had gone into idol worship. They'd left God. Israel had left the Lord, just like the United States has left the Lord. But how does God admonish Israel and Jerusalem? He brings in the Assyrians, okay, let's call them here now, the Islamists, to then whack Jerusalem, let's call it the American Embassy and everything we got in Kabul and the other jihadist attacks that we'll have, whack them because of their religious debauchery and hypocrisy. So here's people who don't believe the Bible as the Word of God in all of its shapes and forms. It's a false religion, beating the tar out of those who have made idols, and God uses those who have a false religion to beat up those who are the hypocrites, which is the American government. We're the hypocrites. And he uses the Islamists, who are more moral on some of these issues than we are, to whack us. Now it goes on to say he'll whack those, the Assyrians. God wins in the end, folks. There's no question about it. But that's an amazing passage. So the question I have to ask here, and then I'm going to give you reason to, there is some reason for hope. Joe Biden, and this is why I read the Victor Davis Hanson piece. Joe Biden, brainless, no brains, no cojones, no morals. And he doesn't have anybody around him has any of those three qualities. None are characteristics. But he opens up the border. He pushes queer this. He pushes tranny that. He walks away from our obligations. The question is he dumb, stupid, or is this part of the plan? Is this part of the Democrat plan to destroy this country? I'm beginning to think that he's not as stupid as he is evil, as he is controlled by others who simply want this country destroyed. They hate God. They're bibliophobic. They're Christophobic. They want to bring down the country that God has erected for a purpose, to be a shining light on a hill. But they want us to be a smoking ember in the trash pile. They don't want it to be salt and light. They want to be grease and darkness. I think if it's not Joe Biden, those who've got the puppet strings, the ones that are sitting up on top, the puppeteers, want this country destroyed. They wanted what happened in Afghanistan. They want American prestige to fall. They want American influence to be abated. They want this country to go down in a heap of ashes, and they got one administration to do it, because if Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or any of those losers got elected in a few years, then we deserve the government we got. We already really do. Is there any hope? Does any hope still exist? Well, go back to Deuteronomy, if you will. Back to chapter 4. I'm going to conclude with this. The Lord speaking here in chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, he says that when you shall beget children and children's children, and you shall remain long in the land, but shall corrupt yourselves, do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number. I got to stop. Why would we be scattered in the United States? Because maybe the United States no longer wants to be a country where anybody wants to be, so we're leaving for other places? I don't know. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither your Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. But if from thence, now this is the important thing to remember, but you got to remember, God lays out, this is what's going to happen because this is what you're doing. But if from there you shall seek the Lord your God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. So here's what I'm saying. Part one, to escape the total destruction right now, we need a bunch of states to leave the union. It's a divorce. But God uses divorce as a tool of reconciliation. Let it get so bad that you don't want to be divorced anymore. You want God back. You want his favor. Okay, I'll be obedient now. Restore me, God, please. But for the short-term thing before this country is a complete wreck, it requires that, in my opinion. But even after that, or if it doesn't happen, could there be a turning? Yes. I don't see it happening. I think the U.S. is toast as we know it. That's my sense. Does it come back? I don't know. Does it ever get to the point where this passage, we humble ourselves, seek him with all of our heart as a country? I'm not talking about the twos and fews. Yeah, the work of God's going to go on. There's going to be salvations. There's going to be tent meetings. There's going to be rallies. There's going to be people getting healed. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that does a great work. Does that mean it turns a country around? No, there's no absolutely no connection. It's how things can get brighter and get darker all at the same time, which is what Scripture says. There'll come a time when no man can work. Work while it's light, because there's a darkness coming. But then it says that the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. It's not a contradiction. It can get lighter and brighter and darker and worse all at the same time. But does that mean this country turns around? No. If it doesn't turn around in the hearts of the people, it will turn. Remember Josiah, great king, the best king Israel ever had. But because the hearts of the people weren't turned, and because Manasseh, the previous king's sins were so great, God visited judgment upon the people. And it says in Ezekiel 31 that he even had to judge the righteous. It was so bad. But is there hope? Yes, there is always hope. and it rests in that. But don't think that it necessarily is going to happen in this country. There's a provision for it, but it's a contingency. The people, not just the twos and fews, the people need to turn their hearts to the Lord. Every person running for office, and doggone it, I'm thinking about it, should be preaching a message from the gospel up on the political stump. I don't care what people say. Say, well, hey, religion and politics don't mix. Well, it's because you say it doesn't mix that we have no effect of religion in politics, in our offices. The bottom line, it may be too late to avoid judgment. It may be. But it's never too late to ultimately be restored. You see, people are waiting and hoping for restoration before judgment. There's no guarantee for that. The fact of the matter is God made it quite clear that the judgment frequently is part and parcel of the people then seeking the restoration. Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. This is the Robin Walter Show. Look for us on all those networks I mentioned. God bless you.